Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin A.C. Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. I'm in Peoria, Arizona. Padres play the A's today. Very excited. Fernando Tatis Jr. back in the lineup. My boss, Jay Posner, he's over on the other side of the screen if you're watching us live. He's back in San Diego wearing his WBC hat. 2017, we were just talking about the Adam Jones catch at Petco Park. And who hit that ball and gave him a hat tip there?
I believe that was the gentleman who now plays third base for the Padres.
Yes, what a moment, what a moment.
They were teammates, of course, in Baltimore at the time, and today is the fourth anniversary of
And Adam Jones is a San Diegan. I mean, that is a San Diego moment, Jay.
It absolutely is.
If you haven't seen it,
I was just going to say, that will be on the list. You know, we just did that big list of all the great moments at Qualcomm, Jack Murphy, and there were so many that were left off because, I mean, we couldn't do them all. But when we get to a 20-year retrospective of Petco, which is coming up here in a couple of years, that Adam Jones catch will be very high on the list, along with, hopefully, some moments this year that people will be able to witness in person. Since the season starts, I believe it's exactly 2 weeks and 2 hours from as we tape this, and a little less than 2 weeks when most people hear this.
There were some moments last year. Of course, they lacked the fans, but there were some big moments last year. And
absolutely. The comeback against Seattle always comes to mind, the Will Myers homer, and of course the home runs in the playoff game against
clinching against the Mariners, clinching the playoffs.
Right.
I got to think, I can't remember exactly what, but a couple Tatis homers that were just, I mean, you were next to me on one of them, and we just both talked about if there had fans there, the place might have come down.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. So, like I mentioned there at the top, Fernando Tatis Jr., after five games out, is playing again today. He said some general body soreness, it's my understanding, slammed into the ground. They're being very careful with him. Why not? Jay, what did you think about my newsletter earlier this week where I talked about Fernando Tatis Jr. absolutely cannot change the way he plays, but he can figure out when to alter how he plays?
Wait, nobody told me I was supposed to read the newsletter, Kevin.
Oh.
I subscribed to it to get, you know, to get the numbers up. But no, of course, I get a sneak preview of it when you're putting it together, and occasionally we'll offer you a quick suggestion or maybe a typo or something like that. But I thought that was very well said what you pointed out. I don't think he should change the way he plays. I do think he should change the way he plays in March and even at other times when, you know, maybe a game is 10-1 something like that. I just think, you know, you don't want to rein him in. I mean, he is Fernando Tatis Jr. because of how he plays the game in large part. And you don't want to take that away from him. But you would like to see him just be a little more judicious in when he does things like scoring from third base on a sacrifice, on a little pop-up. We know he can do that. We've seen him do it. I don't think that, you know, doing it on March 13th or whatever the date was is probably the right time for it.
It's such a silly topic to think to change the way he plays that it almost feels weird and dumb talking about it. However,
but these games don't count.
It is something that people bring up, and it is something that veteran players say and have since he got into the league. He will learn how to do it. He box at it like we're talking to, we're telling him to not run hard to first. You know, no, that's not what it is. But it's just so important. Jay, I got to tell you, these injuries, and I don't got any skin in the game, except I want to cover a good team for once. But these injuries, as Trent Grisham with the hamstring, Austin Nola with the finger, Tatis, you know, kind of had the flu and he's basically missed as much as he's played. They feel like it's higher stakes now. It's like it actually matters when good players get hurt on this team now.
Right. And I also wonder at what point, you know, it's such a long season and you know you're going to be good. There's this sort of a temptation, I would think, where, well, if we give the guy a couple days now, we'll be okay because, you know, look, we're going to be playing in October. But at some point, you can't, you know, you're not going to be able to keep doing that because you're going to have to put teams out there that can win games. Now, if you can win without that happening, that's great, but you're not going to want to just sort of toss away a week here and a week there because you say, well, the guy's going to be okay if we do this. I mean, it's kind of a fine line. It's going to be really interesting to see how Jace Tingler manages it, obviously in conjunction with the front office, with the training staff, with the players themselves. You know, you don't want guys to really play when they're hurt and risking doing something even worse. But look, everybody gets hurt. Everybody plays with pain and that sort of thing. So there is a line there where they're going to have to watch and be careful and decide who plays when. You know, we keep hearing, well, if it was the regular season, he'd be out there. Okay, hopefully that's the case, because when it does come time to the regular season, you know, they don't want to have three or four starters sitting on the bench.
No, and I'll say this. He stayed, and I don't know exactly what it was, but he had a shoulder thing last year, kind of up around in the back area that he played through most of the year. Now, I'm not saying it was severe. I honestly don't know the severity, but I know that it was there. This kid plays less than 100%. I believe that he would have played this week, or at least maybe he would have sat a game or something. And they would have told us, oh, it's just for rest. And then none of us would have been the wiser. Moving on to a more, what I think is, because I think Trent Grisham is going to get back to doing some running and be able to go on opening day. But the one where there is some concern, because, you know, he's good and one of the guys behind him who would have to play maybe isn't quite ready in terms defensively, is Austin Nola. Austin Nola fractured his finger. It was last Saturday, I believe. It's in his receiving hand. Good in some ways, bad in others. You know, he is catching balls at 100 miles an hour, and he doesn't have to grip that thing. You know, he's got to grip the glove, and then he's got a bat, of course, and he's right-handed. So right down there, the bottom hand. My understanding, there is a scenario, once they get the swelling down and they see and he tests it here in the next couple of days, that he's ready for opening day. That's not what anyone is counting on, and we're talking about a week to 10 days at the start of the season. And Victor Caratini, who I think we've talked about here before, I know I've written about it, very good behind the plate. And then Luis Campusano. Every team wanted Mackenzie Gore, and every team wanted Luis Camposano. The Padres, absolutely not untouchable. Luis Camposano, they believe, is going to be a really, really good player, a really good hitting catcher in this league, and they think he can hit right now. Fine. This is not optimal, all right? It's not a disaster. It's 7 to 10 days. The guy's going to be fine. You just got done watching Francisco Mejia for a couple of years. The Padres are going to be fine. But this is an issue.
If you've got 7 to 10 games or whatever, you can have Caratini probably catch as many as 8 of those, I would think. You know, so probably not much of an issue. I don't know that, you know, long term, if this was a couple months, you know, you'd be more concerned about maybe those two guys.
That, like, if it comes down to that, Caratini hasn't been an everyday guy. That is a great point, Jay. But if Nola were to get hurt long term, let's be honest, this guy's pain tolerance pretty good since he played with a fractured bone in his foot all of last season. But this is in that hand, and I already talked about why that's important. So that to me is the injury, right?
And we don't know with Camposano exactly, you know, how much progress has he made. I haven't watched
it. Hasn't been great, Jay.
Hasn't been good.
Hasn't been great. And that's with my eyes, and I'm always up front, not a coach, not a scout, watch a lot of baseball, talk to baseball people. And all of us agree, those of us who don't know anything and those who do, hasn't been good. But, like, you know, look, just that, I'm glad we put it in perspective. We're talking about 2-3 games that the guy is going to play if all goes according to plan.
Right. And I think in that case, you know, the Padres have to hope that he doesn't cause any serious damage or whatever in those.
If you're a really good team and your weakness is one guy, I mean, okay, score 6 runs. I mean,
if Grisham's back and you still have and Pham and Myers appear to be okay at the moment, that kind of thing seems to be where they should be able to score runs. I mean, that's this lineup is built to score runs, and we've talked before about guys are going to be in this lineup who can hit. There was a quote the other day from Tingler, I think it was, about, you know, if you're going to be in this lineup, you've got to get on base and you've got to hit.
That's
So I think they're willing to give up a little bit on the defensive end. You don't really want to give that up at catcher, but as we said, if it's just for a couple games, I wouldn't be too concerned.
I covered a guy named Mike Piazza back in the back in the day, and he's in the Hall of Fame. You know what? He wasn't great back there. I'm not saying Camposano will come out hitting like Piazza, but
right. Piazza made himself. Piazza got better through the years, but you know, nobody ever confused him with guys winning gold gloves back there. But he made up for it in other ways. And it doesn't seem like at the moment there are any other everyday guys to be concerned about. I mean, Myers, that wasn't anything.
He bounced
major.
Back real quick. Right. He's Tommy's moving fine out
Fam's
there.
Fam's been coming around.
Whew. Man, has Fam been coming around. Holy smokes. As bad as he looked, as he's adjusting the contacts and all that, he's looked that good in the last five games. Mm-hmm. And I go back even to before he started this hitting streak and where he's, what, I think 7 of 12 or 6 of 12 in the last four games. He was hitting the ball much better. And so, that's a huge relief for everybody. $8.9 million, a two-war guy out there, if not more, if he's not better, if he gets back to the form that he had. That's just a huge relief for the Padres. Right there.
I love Blake Snell's quote about him.
Couldn't be any more motivated. He's just sleeps with his bat. and that is, hey, look, there's nothing wrong with that. You read the story that I wrote a couple weeks ago about Tommy Pham, and I think that some of the things he says rub people the wrong way. Tommy Pham believes in himself. Mm-hmm. Tommy Pham wants to be the best, and Tommy Pham is really good. He's a different cat, and it is huge. He is 33 years old.
Right.
He has got beat up last year. He had kind of a rough offseason. There were questions, and this is absolutely a great sign that he's doing well. The Will Myers thing is probably something to keep an eye on. I mean, he has inflammation in his knee. You're looking at this guy to play 150 games. So he's chasing balls out and some, the parks they play, there's some right fields that are tricky and big and it's something to keep an eye on, but he's fine. The other big issue is the pitching staff, and I'm going to say it like that, right? The pitching staff, because we can talk about the rotation. We can talk about the bullpen, but they're kind of blended together. And I'll get into it this way. Ryan Weathers is pitching, starting on Saturday. Well, Yu Darvish, probable opening day starter, though they won't say, is going to pitch in a B game or a sim game, but we haven't, or I'm an inter squad, haven't found out yet. Because whatever, he's been virtually unhittable and he can work back there. This is a huge game for Ryan Weathers. Mm-hmm. As far as mid-March games go, they do not have to say or even identify for themselves which one of these guys is going to be the fifth and or sixth starter. They can just carry Adrian Morahome, Mackenzie Gore, and or Ryan Weathers, and then see how it goes, with those 24 games in 25 days. Who's been used? So let's say that they want to use Morahone or Weathers in a game out of the bullpen. Well, then that would mean that maybe Gore would start the sixth game or the eighth game or whatever. I believe that's what they're going to do. They're going to carry two of those three guys, if not all three, depending on how other guys are doing and injuries and all that, because they need length out of the bullpen, and they especially need it early in the season.
No, and I think it'll be interesting to see. And I like how, Darvish won't pitch because it's the Dodgers Saturday, right?
It is the Dodgers Saturday.
Not that the Dodgers haven't seen Darvish before up close a couple of years ago, but I guess that's one of those little games you play where why should we let him see Darvish at this point in the spring.
Plus, it's good to put Weathers in there.
Yeah, it's right. And the other side of it is, let's see what Ryan Weathers does against the Dodgers. I mean, we don't know what the Dodger lineup's going to look like, but you figure there's going to be at least some regulars that are in there. So let's see what Weathers does. And I'm interested to see where are we on Mackenzie Gore after I think he's had one more outing since we talked last time, and it seemed it was sort of some of the same old stuff. He was really good at times and really, really inconsistent.
That's kind of what my answer was going to be, is like this outing wasn't as good, let's say. Mm-hmm. Certainly, you know, the results. But, man, there's time still. And I think that was really the question. Besides the command, which is still the issue, the question was, can this guy be effective as they think slash hope with his secondary pitches? And he has been. I mean, they are really good. The curve, the changeup, wow. And he just needs to find the plate more and not get himself into bad situations, both in counts and with guys on the bases. Because I'll tell you what, he's got that big old leg kick, and teams are going to run on him until he figures that out. So, you know, Mackenzie Gore just needs to kind of tighten it up, and he's going to be a heck of a pitcher. That's not a newsflash. But, I mean, he's going to be a heck of a pitcher this year if he tightens it up. But that's where they're at. Right now, Weathers throws well on Saturday. It feels like one of those where, like, he throws well on Saturday. Go ahead and pencil that in with him pitching for the Padres start of the season. Adrian Morahone would really have to fall off to not be pitching. And gosh, I'd put him in the lead for the fifth spot right now. Adrian Morahone has been fantastic.
Who's in the fourth spot? Has Paddock been traded yet after last night? So I don't know. I'm sure there's panic all over certain places today, but Paddock had pitched really well. He had a bad outing.
And I don't know if you watched it, Jay, on the cuss feed, because it was available. But there may have been other things for you to do besides watch a spring training game. He was pitching really well, even without his fastball. And so the narrative, had he not left a fastball in the middle of the plate to Kyle Hendricks and then fallen apart. But let's just say he hadn't left a fastball in the middle of the plate to Kyle Hendricks and then had to face the top of the order and gotten out of a scoreless second inning, which I'm thinking like 10 pitches. The narrative would have been, yes, oh my gosh, finally, Chris Paddock's fastball wasn't working and he didn't get blown up. Because his cutter was better than ever. That's a pitch that he barely has thrown before. Mm-hmm. Curveball was okay. The changeup was still getting swing and miss. His fastball just wasn't good last night. Usually fastball's not good, disaster. He made a couple bad pitches last night that he paid for. I'm not trying to make excuses. This kid's got to get out of his head. He's got to get out of his own way. And he's got to get consistency. He absolutely does. But it really... it just wasn't as bad as maybe the results were. And in spring training, that actually means something. Now, you're saying that in April, May, June, July, that doesn't really mean anything. Right. Saying it in spring, right, it does mean something.
And there don't seem to be – I mean, Darvish and Snell look even better than anybody could have expected, even though, again, it's spring training and it doesn't mean anything. But they've looked great. Musgrove, I did watch a little bit of him the other day. I happened to watch when he got hit by the line drive, but he could be fun to watch with the breaking stuff that he has. It's really, really fun to watch the ball move like that. But I think they'll be fine. They've got enough guys to fill spots. I'm wondering about the bullpen, and then after that the bench, but where do you think things stand on the bullpen with some of these guys? It's kind of hard to tell. I mean, Austin Adams hasn't pitched in a while.
And isn't scheduled to, as far as I can see, for a few days.
Right. So that almost sounds like he's headed for maybe for the injured list at the start of the season.
Michel Baez hasn't pitched, but he is back to throwing on the side and is expected to get in the game soon. I don't know. I haven't seen the schedule out to Saturday yet.
I mean, Pierce Johnson's going to miss a little bit of time. That's
the hope is that he can pitch once or twice before the end of the Cactus League. That would be pretty big. That's your, at worst, that's like a seventh inning guy. That's like your holds leader right there, right? Him and Stammen. And so that would be bad if Pierce Johnson can't start the season or if he's not right to start the season. So those are the big ones. Pagan's been throwing fantastic. Mm-hmm. Just occurred to me, haven't seen, but also Jeff Sanders covered a few days. Pomeranz, I can't remember the last time I saw him, but he's been throwing well. They've taken, let's put it this way. I don't think it's red alert, but they've taken enough hits. And so I was just asking someone last week, just talking someone in the organization, what are they doing in terms of keeping their options open to the bullpen at this point? I wasn't thinking anything was imminent at all. And it was just like the routine monitoring of it. I don't know. Could they have stepped that up in the last day or whatever? Yeah. I mean, sure. It's AJ Preller. And like I said, I don't think it's red alert, but it's like they've taken on enough injuries, no more in the bullpen. And then it might be red alert.
All right. Who's on the bench at the start of the season? Profar is there. We've got
that one's done.
One catcher, but they might have to carry, depending on whether Nola starts the season on the injured list. They're going to have to carry an extra catcher.
Well, if Nola's on the injured list.
Well, if he's on the injured list, they don't. But if he's not.
Right.
I guess it depends on if you think he's going to be back in the first week or so. But so there's one or two catchers. And then, but who else are we looking at? You've got Mateo. You've got O'Grady.
You've got Mateo and O'Grady. To me, it's basically almost a done deal. As great as Tucapita Marcano has played, there are some free agents like Gosuke Kato, Florimon that have played well, but you have the versatility and they've had good springs, O'Grady and Mateo. And they bring things like Mateo brings the speed. I think it's pretty much a done deal. The fact that Mateo could play everywhere, does play everywhere but third and first and catcher. And O'Grady plays all three outfield spots. He plays first base as well, but they're covered there. The fact that Profar plays all three outfield spots, has played everywhere in the infield pretty extensively in his career. I think they're set there.
All right, I forgot one name, Ha-Sung Kim.
I think I had him. Now I've got, I'm gonna have to look at my notes, but Ha-Sung Kim, they keep talking like they really like him, Jay, and that they're not going to have him start down in the minors. What you see on the field looked like a guy who still needs to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe when I made my list the other day and I penciled in O'Grady and Mateo, I left Kim off. But they keep insisting that they really like what they're seeing and that they're okay with this learning curve. And I will say that he's getting every opportunity to not only start in games, but does all his work with, gets an abundance of work. He probably gets more work than any other player, both individually with Bobby Dickerson. And to me, it looks like he needs some more time. It's one of those where like, everyone's saying that, no, he's good. And I'm saying, have you seen him play at all? He just looks a step behind. He does.
I mean, the only thing I've really seen was when he yanked the throw the other day to start the game. That kind of stuff happens. I wouldn't pay attention to that. But I have not seen – I saw him hit a couple times, and he was – I think he struck out both times. I guess you could still keep him – if you only need one catcher, if you're going to carry will they have a five man? No, they probably still only going to have a four man bench, right?
Yeah, you got to have. I think that they haven't said it, but kind of talked like it, and I've considered it a given. You don't go with 13 pitchers; you go with 14 pitchers. So you've got. So
you only got four guys then.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting with. Because obviously Mateo and O'Grady and Profar and a catcher, there's four right there. So one of those and a catcher and Profar aren't going anywhere.
They have to they're giving every one of those guys the opportunity to show it. So it very well may be who performs best. O'Grady could be the odd man out given or Kim. But the versatility, if you're carrying 14 pitchers, the versatility is big. And Mateo's having a heck of a spring, and he has the speed.
Well, and we've still got, 10, 11 days left in spring training. So things do have a way of usually sorting themselves out. But so we'll have more to discuss next week. which will be your last hot lava in Arizona. So,
yeah, just yesterday my phone switched my hotel to home. You know, when you get in your car and it says how many minutes to home. It hadn't done it yet, and then just yesterday, as it happens, 3 weeks or so into spring, it said you're 14 minutes from home. No, I'm not.
Yeah, it's a little more than that. So, getting closer. All right. Though. Getting closer.
It is. And you know what? It's a different feeling of, you know, even last summer camp, right? You're like, oh, yeah, these guys can be pretty good. It sure seems like it.
Sure.
Well, this year, it's, you know, look, this team doesn't do well. We got to start thinking that they traded Babe Ruth at some point, or somebody didn't want to vote into Qualcomm or something,
right?
Because this team should be pretty good. And so I'm really very much looking forward to the games actually mattering, keeping score, seeing how guys are doing, questioning Jace Tingler. I can't wait. All right. Thanks everybody for joining us. Talk to you later.